You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
A view on a precedent one way or another, whether I say I love it or I hate it, it signals to litigants that I might tilt one way or another in a pending case.
So on something that is really a major cause with major effect on over half of the population of this country, who are women after all, it's distressing not to get a straight answer.
October the 13th, 2020, the interrogation, the examination, but I'm going to call it the interrogation of Judge Barrett is underway in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Dems are not getting the answers they want. You heard Senator Dianne Feinstein then being critical of Judge Barrett. This is an issue that affects half of the population of the world, of our nation, women. And you won't tell us about your view of Roe v. Wade and if you would decide to keep it or reject it. No, she said, and what I would do is I will wait and see the case that comes before me. And they're trying to link her to remarks Judge Scalia had made when he was alive. And he said Roe v. Wade should not have passed. And she's saying, well, I will review whatever particular case comes in front of me. Well, then would you say that Scalia was right, that Roe v. Wade should not exist? I will see the case that comes in front of me and look at it based on the merits and on the Constitution. Insisting again, I'm not here to make law. That's not the job, the J-O-B, of the Supreme Court. Dems think it is. That's why they want more activist judges on there. See, this is not an issue of if you're conservative or liberal judge. It's a matter of do you accept the Constitution as the text for defining our liberties, our nation, our laws and regulations, or do you want to rewrite it? Well, if you want to rewrite it, you should do that in Congress. The Dems cannot keep Judge Amy Coney Barrett from getting on the Supreme Court. The Senate has the numbers, has the votes already. So now they're trying to damage her. What are we going to do? What can we do to go after her? Of course, they've been pushing the Obamacare. Everybody's going to lose all their health care. You won't have any options. A lot of folks that, quote, have something under Obamacare now, they cannot afford the premium, or if they do, then they've got to wait through a big deductible before they can ever collect any insurance, any coverage. And, of course, gun rights will be on the question board here shortly. But earlier today, the Roe v. Wade abortion, that's a prime issue. We're going to get into that over the next 2 hours. Also, the World Health Organization is admitting, yeah, lockdowns cause economic damage. Oh, now you tell it. Now you understand that? We knew that. Herschel Walker, former NFL player, 2 times Pro Bowl. Why Trump is good for black Americans. And not a racist. And there's shenanigans still going on as to how to make the vote go the particular way Dems want. Republicans trying to use one of the tactics in California that the liberals have been using, and the liberals suddenly cry foul. We'll explain that. Oh, James Carville, former Bill Clinton campaign advisor. He says, I expect the election result night by 10:30 Eastern time. We'll have the results. It will be decided. Well, what does he think will happen? You'll hear from James Carville in his southern Louisiana Cajun accent. I can't forget this. There's a plan underway to remove Nancy Pelosi, suggesting Pelosi is mentally unstable. Stand back. We don't know how big this is going to get. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 lone dollar. Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. Ways.
Let me try again. Do you agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe was wrongly decided?
Senator, I completely understand why you are asking the question, but again, I can't pre-commit or say, yes, I'm going in with some agenda, because I'm not. I don't have any agenda. I have no agenda to try to overrule Casey. I have an agenda to stick to the rule of law and decide cases as they come.
Well, what I'm, as a person, I don't know if you'll answer this one either. Do you agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe can and should be overturned by the Supreme Court?
Well, I think my answer is the same. That's just, it's a contentious issue, which is, I know, one reason why it would be comforting to you to have an answer. But I can't express views on cases or pre-commit to approaching a case any particular way.
Well, that makes it difficult for me, and I think for other women also on this committee, because this is a very important case. And it affects a lot of people, millions and millions of women.
And so Senator Dianne Feinstein says, I'm not getting the answer I want. You got to answer better. I mean, she pressed that button 3 or 4 times. And if you recall, we've mentioned this before previously, and I'm sure some of you have seen and read it yourself. 3 years ago, Democrats were questioning Barrett when she was up for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals confirmation hearing. And Senators Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, of course, and Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, questioning her then about her religious background and beliefs, reference Roe v. Wade and abortion. Barrett is a Catholic. And at that time, Senator Feinstein said, the dogma lives loudly within you, and that is a concern. The dogma, her religious belief, she's calling a dogma. So they're still trying to push that button as well. Yesterday, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, stepped forward in his opening statement to defend Barrett from attacks he knew was coming, undermining freedom of religion. He said the bedrock principle of American liberty is now under attack. That is what's at stake when my Democrat colleagues repeatedly question Judge Barrett and others about their religious beliefs. It's not stopping the Democrats. We're just bringing it to the forefront, making it clear. Now, yesterday, as they wrapped up that first day, everyone got to make a statement, including Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And then today, well, as Senator Lindsey Graham said yesterday, we begin tomorrow, 30-minute rounds, followed by 20-minute rounds. Just do the math. We got a couple long days ahead of us. He's got to give this time allotted in reference to the 22 senators who sit on the Judiciary Committee. He said, go get some rest. So beginning at 9 Eastern time this morning, the senators began taking their turns grilling Barrett over issues related to any cases they're concerned about, such as Roe v. Wade, overall judicial philosophy, gun laws, health care, the man who nominated her, President Trump. Yeah, we got to throw that in there. If you look at what they're doing at this point, they're flailing in the wind. Somebody needs to throw them a life jacket because they're sinking under the water now. They have no option. They can do what they want, do their thing, and in the end, the vote will be taken, and it will be confirmed to go to the floor and then confirmed by the Senate because Republicans hold control. And in fact, to that extent, yesterday, Senator Klobuchar is saying, this is all a sham. They can call it what they want, but now we're into it. The problems the Democrats face is, of course, political power. If at least 50 of the 53 Republican senators favor her confirmation, and they're healthy enough to show up and vote in favor, they can't be stopped. And at least 51 Republican senators already have indicated they're going to confirm. Now, some of the senators are not actually in the hearing room. They are able to ask questions and do that via internet, Zoom-type issues, things of that nature. But when it comes to voting, they've got to be in the Senate. Yesterday, we saw the Democrats really emphasize their concern regarding the Affordable Care Act. It was in 2012 the court upheld the Affordable Care Act by 5-4 vote, Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the majority. So if Barrett replaces Ginsburg, which she will, she would become the swing vote on a case that could cause, as the Democrats want you to believe, 21 million Americans to lose their health insurance. No, they still have credible opportunities to get insurance, and the president and every Republican has said, we will have no laws that will prevent anyone with pre-existing conditions from getting insurance. We're not going to accept it. All right, well, we got to get into something. Oh, yeah, Roe v. Wade, that's the big thing. And Senator Feinstein, you be the attack dog. You be the attack dog because you did it last time on her confirmation hearing for the circuit court, and you talked about the dogma lives loudly within her. So Senator Feinstein at one point today is kind of trying to play nice. Maybe she thinks by smiling and saying something positive about Judge Barrett and her family that she'll catch her off guard, and then a gotcha question. Here's what I mean.
I had hoped you would say, as a person, you've got a lovely family, you understand all the implications of family life, you should be very proud of that. I'm proud of you for that. But my position is a little different. You're going on the biggest court of this land with a problem out there that all women see one way or another in their life.
Well, probably not all women see that. I have told you previously my view when it comes to those who stand in front of me and shout women's rights regarding abortion. I raised two girls. I told my girls when they were still young, I'm talking about, I think before they turned teens, because the way things are going then, and it's probably a lot more scary now for you parents who have young children. I talked to them about sex, and the big concern at that point was AIDS. And I told them, I said, if you have sex and you get AIDS, all I can do is hold your hand and watch you die. I don't want to do that. You need to keep that in mind. I said, but I also tell you that if you get pregnant, you will have that baby. Now, I know there are a lot of conditions and situations that come up for women, families, and so forth, unexpected, surprise, and sometimes it's. I'm not going to even attempt to say it's an easy decision for a woman, even if they decide to do an abortion. But what gets me is every time somebody gets in my face and says it's a woman's right to do what they want with their body. And my only response, the one response that closes down that argument fast is, if you believe that, if your mother had exercised that same attitude and decided to abort, you wouldn't be here to have the argument with me. It's as simple as that. And, of course, we also, again, have the senators trying to compare her to Justice Scalia, who was a strong conservative, constitutionalist, textualist. And there's some concern by many on the Senate, the Democrats, that she will end up being a clone of Scalia. So Senator Lindsey Graham, the Judiciary Committee chairman, made a reference to Scalia, and Barrett had clerked for Scalia early in her career, and he just asked, how would you react to being called a female version of Scalia?
I would say that Justice Scalia was obviously a mentor, and as I said when I accepted the president's nomination, that his philosophy is mine too. You know, he was a very eloquent defender of originalism. And that was also true of textualism, which is the way that I approach statutes and their interpretation.
And she added, you will not be getting a clone of Scalia. You'll be getting Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She went on to explain that the originalist view of the Constitution, textualist view of statutes, means that a judge looks at the law as it was written, not imposing their own meaning. But she did admit originalists and textualists can have different views of what words mean. She did say in English, it means I interpret the Constitution as a law, and I interpret its text as text. I understand it to have meaning that it had at the time people ratified it. So that meaning doesn't change over time. It's not up to me to update it or infuse my own policy views into it. That's what you want of a judge, especially at the Supreme Court. That is not where you rewrite the laws. So the grilling, the interrogation is continuing even as I speak, and it's going to go on for several days, at least two, three more. Supposedly, on the timetable, Lindsey Graham had laid out that they will get to a vote to send it to the floor by October 22nd, and on the floor, it will be approved rapidly. In other words, she will be on the court before the election. So what else can they find to mock her about or tear her down, some way to degrade her? You remember how they degraded Judge Brett Kavanaugh, came up with allegations that he was basically a serial rapist. Remember all of that? Well, I'm looking at something here. This is not a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, but I think this is probably someone who they like to see someone make some remarks that they really can't. So here we came with a remark by a female lawyer. A female lawyer. She, by the name Leslie McAdoo Gordon. She wrote, women lawyers and judges wear suits, including dresses with jackets for work. is not a great look that ACB consistently does not. No male judge would be dressed in less than correct courtroom attire. It's inappropriately casual. You know, if she looks back at what Ruth Bader Ginsburg wore to her confirmation hearings, a skirt, a striped top, looked like something she wore to just go out shopping. She wasn't overly dressed, but that's different, Larry. That was a Democrat and a different time. Well, the response coming into this Leslie McAdoo Gordon, one stating, "I'm a trial lawyer. This is absurd. Your petty comment, ill-considered." Another one saying, "Are you seriously judging her attire? Do you really think this helps women?" Still another, "Bitterness and jealousy are ugly emotions." Another one, "Finally, the uniform police have shown up." Another one, "They can't attack her on her excellent voting record, so they'll go after her for one, faith in God, and two, adopting kids, and three, wearing a dress." Yeah, that's what we've gotten into. Let's take a break, and when we come back, talk of removing Nancy Pelosi because she's, quote, mentally unstable. That story, you'll listen to the break.
I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Little old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die."
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So as you know, the other day, Nancy Pelosi teamed up with another representative to push forward establishing a commission to study if President Trump is fully capable of serving as president, questioning his stability because he's on COVID drugs and so forth. And the Constitution of the United States under the 25th Amendment allows, in simple terms, that the president can declare themselves, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of their office, unable to do their job, must do so in a written letter, or a decision can be made that the president's not capable, and they move forward to remove him. And the vice president has to sign off on that. So Pence would have to sign off. Now comes Congressman Doug Collins. Said, "You know what? You want to play that game, Nancy? How about this one?" Which, by the way, I pointed out the other day, and Trump also did over the weekend. "You want to use the 25th Amendment to get rid of me? If Biden's elected, I would think immediately they'll use the 25th Amendment to get Biden out and Harris into the Oval Office." Of course they will. But anyway, here comes Congressman Doug Collins, Republican, pushing a resolution to remove House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, claiming, quote, "she does not have the mental fitness." He adds, "her unwillingness to abide by the Constitution, combined with recent actions, call into question her own mental fitness, which is why it's critical the House of Representatives demand her removal." The resolution continues. October 31st, 2019, Pelosi oversaw the first party-line vote to begin an impeachment inquiry into a president in the history of our country. And it also talks about how she, and you remember this, how she ripped up the State of the Union speech delivered by the president last time around. Standing behind him, she starts ripping the pages in half. That didn't look so stable, did it? Oh, and then we've got her visiting a shuttered hair salon in San Fran to get a blowout and hair coloring, not wearing a mask, in violation of the San Francisco laws concerning the coronavirus, and then turns around and blames the salon owner for setting her up. Collins states, "over the tenure of her speakership, Speaker Nancy Pelosi has started to demonstrate a decline in mental fitness. And lately she has appeared, quote, confused and exhibited bizarre behavior. Hey, you want to play that game, Nancy? We can do it with you as well. You want to do that dance? Will it go anywhere? Yeah. But it's good fodder for my program anyway, and something for you to get a laugh out of. And it serves notice that don't think, Nancy Pelosi, you're beyond our reach. Of course, right now, the Democrats control the House. Which is another reason you need to make sure you're voting. See, we want to protect the presidency. We want Trump put back in office, obviously, to continue his term. We want to maintain control of the Senate. And when it comes to the House, if Republicans could possibly get control of the House, Pelosi might still be a member, but she will not be Speaker, because that will go to the other leadership. Herschel Walker on how Trump is not a racist and how he's helping black Americans. Also, a call for violence if folks don't like the way the election result goes. We got a lot more to cover. So stick around. We will continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. When I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, oh, number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
As an African-American man, it's kind of insulting to me. This president has denounced any type of white supremacist. He's denounced everything. But because they don't have anything to fight what he's done for the African-American, they keep using the word racist. And I've said many times, this guy is not a racist. President Trump is not a racist. Why don't you guys decide to put a plan together that you can do something to help the African-American instead of trying to call this president a racist? Because think about this. In the debate the other night, if somebody had called President Obama, if they had told him to shut up, if they had said that, hey, you're a clown, if they had said that, you're stupid, what would have happened? But yet this president has been going over these obstacles all the time. So I want the African-American people to realize this. I want the Hispanic people to realize this, the Native American. I want America to realize this president has done a great deal for the African-American community, for America.
Those are the words of former NFL running back Herschel Walker on Fox News. The 58-year-old had also represented the U.S. while competing in the Olympics in 1992. He said, you know, I was thinking this poor black kid from South Georgia got a chance to represent the United States of America. He said, I was thinking about that as I've been hearing from a lot of people saying we're oppressed. He said, well, I'm here to tell you, you're not. And he goes on then to say, and calling Trump a racist, you're not accomplishing anything for black Americans. You're just slandering. You're just coming up with lies. And this black man is supporting Donald Trump. So I don't know what those who continue to call Trump a racist would think about Well, I do, but I'll leave it to some of your imagination as well. What they think about Herschel Walker being a black man, he's not the only black man, obviously, supporting Trump or black women. There are many blacks that have decided, as Trump said the last time around against Hillary, why not vote for me? What, you know, what have they done for you? Give me a chance. Let's see. And before the pandemic hit, he got black unemployment to the lowest in history. He also made sure that the historically black universities and colleges didn't have to come running to the White House all the time or to Congress trying to get extra money. He made a position inside the administration to help take care of them going forward. He also passed prison reform, which basically freed a lot of minorities, mostly black, from prisons and sentences that were onerous at the time, and yet they were still being held in there. Held in jail for life, for possession, and maybe trafficking in marijuana. So here you have Herschel Walker saying this is just, again, an effort to try to make something out of nothing. And then he turned his attention to the California reparations bill. Last month, California became the first state in the nation to adopt a law to study and develop proposals for potential reparations to descendants of enslaved people and those impacted by slavery. Governor Newsom said this law and bipartisan support for its passage are, quote, proving a paradigm that we hope will resonate all across the U.S. California entered the Union as a free state in 1850. But slavery did continue even after the state constitution outlawed it the previous year. Eventually, slavery was abolished across the nation by the 13th Amendment, 1865. And there have been those who have been saying, look, we've been deprived, we were held down, the money went elsewhere, and we were being used, and on our backs, we built this country, and we did not get proper due and payment. I'm not going to just simply dismiss that fact, but at the same time, how would you accomplish this? And the staggering amounts of money that it would take to actually have it take place. Now, California is actually trying to do it in their state by starting with this commission to start studying it. Their bill states 4 million African Americans and their descendants were enslaved from 1619 to 1865. And continued for more than 75 years. So they're trying to figure out, what do we do? Herschel Walker says, I really know what they're doing. It's not what they would have you believe.
I'm upset about it. I'm upset about it because all they're doing is pandering for a vote. Because let me tell you, why are you paying African-Americans off instead of empowering African-Americans? They don't have an answer for what Donald Trump is saying is trying to empower African-Americans by putting jobs in those areas, by putting better education in those areas, by going out, putting small businesses, African-American-owned businesses in those areas. What they're trying to do now is pander for a vote.
That's how he sees it. Pandering for a vote. That's what the Democrats have been doing, of course, with sanctuary cities and open the borders and claiming that Trump is against brown people and black people and certainly against immigration. No, we're not against immigration. We're against illegal immigration. One word changes everything. And again, the Democrats don't want you to look at that one word. Herschel Walker says, so if you come up with something, And you think this will be the reparation plan, he said, you still got some big questions.
It is sad that they're going to say, I'm going to give you money. Who are you going to give the money to? What about the people that fought to free you as a slave? What about the white people that fought to free you as a slave? Who is considered black? Only if you vote Democratic, like Joe Biden said. And then now you got the vice president, the Ms. Harris, who may be the vice president, who's locked all the African-American and the brown people up in jail. Now she's talking about, you know, you want to pay the reparation. Hey, let's get serious here. You don't give people a job. Why don't you teach them how to work? That's what I want to say. Don't give them a fish. You teach them how to fish. That's what's going to make African-American better.
And Herschel Walker again insisting, I'm not a victim. But the left continues to push what one expert says, the grievance industry, pushing narratives of racial victimization while pursuing political power. Those are remarks from Shelby Steele, author, Hoover Institution senior fellow, a black man. He said that racial victimization is a political cottage industry used by Democrats and the left to demand expansion of government power. He said, black Americans in the last 60 years since the 60s, we have made our racial victimization our primary source of power. If we are victims of racism, then that gives us a moral leverage in society to ask for all sorts of things, to introduce political correctness here, to have diversity programs there, to have affirmative action, public housing extended, and on and on. We can ask for all sorts of things based on the fact that we're victims of racism. Is it really helping the black community? That's what you really need to look at. I mean, and Herschel Walker, I think many of us agree. I mean, if you were raising a child, I'm sure you agree. If you had grandchildren, the way you were raised, did they just give you everything? Your parents just give you everything? You got that silver spoon in your mouth and had everything you wanted? Well, good for you. You wouldn't have made it long in my household. My dad insisted, you want something, you get out and work for it. I might help you match some money on it, but you got to go show me that you're willing to put in the time and work to do it. White kids can claim to be victims. Hey, I don't have it as nice as the white family down there. We don't live in the ritzy area. I grew up in West Texas oil fields. Oil field trash, and I'm proud of it. My dad worked his butt off so many long hours. Mom did all taking care of all four of us. We lived in what now they call a mobile home. It was a trailer home. I never considered that, one, we were poor. I never considered that, well, those folks have a lot more, and, well, we don't. Why not? And here comes Herschel Walker again. He said, this is part of the failing you're going to see as you watch it unfold when you see Biden and Harris and what they're projecting.
What's going on is that this president has done things for these communities that they didn't do a long time ago. How can you ask former Vice President Biden to do anything for anyone when he had 47 years to have done this? He could have done this a long time ago. How can you ask Kamala Harris, who could have changed the laws? She could have put a law in to change things, to give people better education, to do different things for people. They never did it. So now they want to do it, and I hate to use this term. Don't keep telling me you're going to do it. You never done it. This president here has done almost everything he set out to do, and I'm not saying I'm tooting his horn, but he has.
Okay. He has. Again, to Shelby Steele, Hoover Institution senior fellow, a black man. This is a dark thing if you define yourself as a victim. You define yourself as impotent. Every time you go out to protest, you're putting your fate in the hands of the people who you claim discriminate against you. You're letting them ruin and run your life. Is that the way you want to live, as a victim? All right, words underway, plans to gear up for violence. We'll give you details, as some groups are saying, we will be in the streets. We will be in the streets.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
That's a great idea, though, if you can do it live.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I understand you might have gotten a little behind-the-scenes action of Larry Connors USA as we're going to that break. Quentin and I were talking about some things we're doing and how to move them around and change them and so forth, and we were having our own little conversation until he looked up and said, ooh, the red light's still on. Well, you know we're not going to say anything that's going to be out of off color or anything like that. It's just it just happened. So now you know we do discuss things in between segments, trying to make the program constantly better. All right, let me turn my attention to what I discussed earlier in going into the break. An organization of radical left-wing activists now posting an online guide called Stopping the Coup, being circulated by a group called Shut Down DC. They're calling for disruption as a response to an imagined coup by the president in case there's a close election. You know, they're again fabricating a lie, pushing it around as fact, making people hopefully fearful that if Trump loses, he will not leave office. We'll have to send in the military to pull him out of there. What was that book? I just dawned on me. 5 days in May, is that what it was? I'm drawing a blank now. We're talking about a coup to take over the presidency. That was a book that I found fascinating. And, you know, it's had some liberties. But at the same time, they're kind of building upon that 5 days in May. That's what it was. Yeah, the book, 5 days in May. No, I stand correct. I think it's 7 days in May. I got it wrong again. No, I don't know. I don't know if it's five or seven. I'm looking at it here. I think it's 7 days in May for the U.S. story. I could be wrong again. Boy, did I get lost on that thing. But here's the thing that's going on with the activist stopping the coup. They're declaring preventing Donald Trump from stealing the election and remaining in office is likely to take mass, sustained, disruptive movements all over the country. They say what we're trying to do is ensure a fair election. But that's not what they're doing if you read through what their content is. They say in order to really win, we need to force some pillars of power, business, military, media, and other major institutions to decide to side with the people, or at least get out of the way. They are actively looking at violence in the streets to take control of the government if Trump should win. Now, I have had some folks tell me, well, you know, Larry, if Trump should lose and Biden win, then all this will quiet down. Things will get better, right? Less divisiveness. I said, don't you even begin to think that. If by chance, or hook or crook, the Dems win and Biden-Harris goes in, they will consider they have a mandate to do whatever the hell they want, and they will start with your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment rights, and whatever they want to go after. It's not going to get better. It's going to get a lot worse, and you will see this country turned upside down. I know many, and I'm one of them, and praying on a nightly basis, if not more, that we protect this country, that we do not turn our back on our history and how we achieve things and what we represent. Been reading through the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was considered the prophet of doom. The Lord used him to give messages to Jerusalem and Judah repeatedly, that because you people have continued to turn your back from me and disobey my rules and laws, I saved you from Egypt, rescued you there. I'm going to send the armies of Babylon against you to wipe all of you out. I'll preserve a remnant. That's it. And in fact, he basically tells Jeremiah, don't even bother praying for their safety. Don't even bother praying that I will relent and not be as severe and harsh because they have defiled me and I will not relent. I tell you, you read those words and you start seeing that, you think, if we continue down this path, this country will be lost. I'm not saying every Democrat wants to see a socialist, communist form of government. I don't believe that at all. And many Democrats are also Christians. They read the Bible. I'm not saying anything. Or in my Jewish friends and my Muslim friends. But the bottom line is, we do not want this country, as the left wants to do right now, the progressives, to transform. All right, coming up the next hour, we will deal more with the hearings, the interrogation of Judge Barrett, and new information about the virus that I'll bet you have not been told. I wonder why. And, of course, we'll have some fun with James Carville, former Bill Clinton manager, campaign manager. He says, I know what's going to happen election night. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.